Hey, welcome to the Quick Fast Podcast, where you don't know who you are.
And neither do we.
Well, how's it going today, number nine?
I'm doing all right. How are you, number three?
Doing pretty good. Enjoying this hot weather. We're having a bit of a hot spell right now.
Oh, man. So. July 4th is coming up, and summer is in full effect in the Midwest, isn't it?
Independence Day. We just passed Pride Weekend. So yeah. I think in celebration of Pride Weekend, maybe we ought to kick it off with a little celebration of our own that we like to call the gay sex deck.
Yeah, it's a hell of a thing. Again, shout outs to Dr. Sean Cummings and Oliver Pierce for putting together the Gay Sex Deck, illustrations by John Geary. Well, number three, I'd like you to do the honors this time.
Oh boy, the anticipation.
Mm-hmm. All right, dig in. Let's see. Random card from the Gay Sex Deck, and then we'll break it down.
This is gonna be a good one.
Oh, it is. It is a good one.
Well, hello.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess I gotta follow protocol and describe what I see in the picture.
Yep, and then we'll flip it over and read about what's going on. So all what right. do you see?
I see two hot guys, full nude, one on all fours, kind of arms out to the sides a little bit.
Yeah, he's almost sitting Indian style a little bit, right?
Kind of like he's sitting on his ankles.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yep.
However, there's something in the way of his ankles.
What's that?
Well, it's the thighs and genitalia of the blonde boy that we've seen in so many of these in the past.
They always have the one blonde guy in the gay sex deck. And it's weird because it's not really a black and white, but it's like a pink.
Yeah, and they're purple, definitely a pink.
A pink and purple hue rather than a black and white. But we can always tell one of them's blonde by the shade.
Yeah. So he's positioned behind him. He could be in him. It could be some frottage, but I'm going to guess he's in him. And arms under the chest or obliques pumping away. Possibly.
This could be the coup de grace of the gay sex deck.
What do you mean by coup de grace?
This could be the big one. This could be the major moment in the gay sex deck, and I almost feel bad that we're hitting it on our third installment right now, if it is indeed what I think it is.
Well, you may think it's the pinnacle, but I think the gay sex deck has a few tricks up its sleeve for
All
us.
Right, because it looks like it's straight up anal intercourse.
Well, you may be right, but that doesn't mean we can't have a little more fun.
It's true. All right.
In the future.
What does it say? Flip it over.
Full sex, number 24, doggy.
Doggy.
Now, do you want me to read this one, or do you want the
privilege? This you're taking over, man.
All right.
This is your turn on the gay sex deck, because I've become almost too big of an expert at the gay sex deck.
Well, some would say.
Yeah, frottage has become a part of my daily vernacular.
Yeah, I think I say it every other day now, so we all learn a little something.
Yeah.
All right, well, it starts out in bold. Deep penetration. If it's hard action you're after, you can't do much better than doggy style. Start with the bottom on all fours and then enter. Now, the bottom, for those of you who are not aware, is the one taking the dick.
Mm-hmm. He's the recipient thereof.
Yes. So you start with the bottom on all fours and then enter. Because this is deep, go easy for the first few thrusts.
Mm-hmm.
Try varying slow, deep thrusts with quick, light, shallow ones. Top. This is you, Top.
Mm-hmm. If you're all the tops out there, better listen up, because you don't ride rough on the man on the bottom.
No. And it's your job to keep up the variety at this point and have the bottom guessing what's coming next. No pun intended.
There's always one of those.
Yeah. Alternatively, try switching to doggy-style sex from another position when you need the boost. So if it's getting a little mundane, flip it up to doggy.
Now here's the danger that I could see with that technique. Okay. It's a little mundane, two fellas, one of them could be losing an erection.
Yeah.
So you're going to all of a sudden try going doggy style?
Yeah.
That's a risky move. That's tough angle sometimes.
It is. Well, maybe that's why you don't want to completely start out doggy, so that way things are easier to
You work your way in.
Yeah,
into it.
Warmed
right.
up.
Okay, yeah.
But one could be a little cooled down.
It's like a muscle car. You don't start it up and then just floor it, leaving the garage.
Right.
You let her idle for a little while.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Leave the choke on for a few if it's really old.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, when you're underway, there's no need for the bottom to stay on all fours. He can raise his torso and reach behind to hold his partner and pull him into him. He might also want to cradle his own head in his hands. I'm not quite sure what they mean by that.
Cradle his own head in it. Oh, his penis.
You think so? I was thinking maybe like a, like if he was crying, or if he...
Oh, like lean over really low?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Like face down,
my initial thought was play with his own penis, because...
Well, I would be.
Yeah, I mean, if I were a gay guy and I was getting approached from, you know, the doggy angle, I'd want to diddle myself.
I tell you what, in straight sex, I almost never touch my penis other than to line it up.
Yeah, that's about it.
Because I'm not gonna do... It's weird. It's almost like... It'd be like you're constantly being caught masturbating.
Mm-hmm.
If you're, you know...
Yeah, there's... Yeah. Do you ever, like, position the balls?
I'll get them back in line a little bit, but only when she's not looking. If she turns around, like, real quick, like I was picking my nose. Like, no way, I wouldn't touch my... I was up here in the nose.
Caught red-handed and blue-balled.
Yeah. So, there's another proviso here. Intimacy. It's important to feel close throughout. Use vocal cues, and if you're on top, stroke and hold your partner. He looks great from this angle? Tell him so. Take responsibility for keeping him happy. Try massaging and slapping his buttocks, and ask if he likes that.
Those are all good tips for intimacy and all that, but there's something fundamentally kind of gross right now about the doggy for a straight male. For a gay guy, lovely, lovely act. I'm sure it's great and enjoyable. But as a straight guy, you sit here and you hear the idea of a guy behind you slapping you on the ass, and it kind of just irks you.
Yeah. I don't know who would adopt the bottom side of the gay duo.
I don't know.
And it's less about the thing going in than it is about the dude grabbing on and...
Yeah, it's like the most submissive position a man can be in.
Yeah.
But, I mean, clothes on or whatever. Like, if you're in a fight, the last thing you want is that guy to be on top of you behind you.
Yeah.
He can do all sorts of shit. I mean, he just pummel you in the back of the head. And all that. So, the idea of a person being behind you is a weird deal to begin with, so...
Absolutely.
Well, there you go. Doggy.
Yeah.
And they were full penetration doggy.
Oh.
For a while, I thought it was just going to come up and be like, you know, you can do a little dry humping back there in between the thighs and all that. Mm-hmm. But that was straight up deep thrusting penetration. So, shout out to the Gay Sex Deck for yet another great tip out there for gay and straight alike.
And remember, tops, go in soft and change it up.
Yeah.
Let's not be stingy lovers.
Right. And talk to your partner and see what they like.
Please.
I've had enough of all these tops out there thinking they just get to hammer away.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Listen, it's not a construction site. I'm not a concrete patio, and you're not a jackhammer.
Right.
You know, that's the thing that I keep hearing in the gay community.
Yeah.
They're tired of their partner just pounding away on them.
Yeah.
And exactly. And one guy always gets put into that role of, I'm the bottom,
mm-hmm.
so now I gotta be the bottom every time.
Yep. So from bottoms everywhere, chill out, tops.
Tonight, I'm gonna have myself a real good time. I feel alive. Okay, well, number three, hot out.
Hot as can be.
It's burning up.
It's right around that time of year.
Yeah.
You said it earlier.
July 4th.
July 4th. The Independence Day weekday this year. Usually it's
the middle of the week, which is an odd time. But in a way, I kind of like that because July 4th seems, in many ways, like a reason for white trash people to just get drunk.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the main purpose of the holiday. In fact, I would love to survey people and ask them know what July 4th actually is about. And see how many of them know it's actually us declaring our independence from the British.
Right. And then to celebrate it with explosives and alcohol.
Yeah.
Seems like a silly way to celebrate your independence. What other things could you do?
I don't know.
To be independent and demonstrate that.
I would like a traditional musket firing.
Yeah.
Bring us back to the roots of the Revolutionary War.
Right. Maybe blow up a ship.
That'd be kind of nice. Yeah. We buy a ship from England.
Yeah.
And then we bring it to like a lake, a pond, whatever's closest in your local community or state or whatever. And we just blow that fucker up. And then everyone's just starts screaming out like death to the king.
Yeah.
And all sorts of cool stuff. That would really bring us in touch with the roots of the holiday.
You know, I've got a British flag. Maybe we burn it this year.
I like the idea.
We burn it. And we
just to let them know.
Yeah.
For all those Brits out there that think you still got a grip on us, guess what? 1776 went down, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
It's over. You lost that one. And guess what number 3 and number 9 are going to be doing this year?
Soaking your flag in gas and lighting it aflame.
Yep. Let her burn, bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Let her burn.
Mm-hmm. Nothing like a trip to the hospital to let everyone know I'm an independent kind of guy and I don't have health insurance.
Oh, nah. You know what? July 4th is one of those weird holidays because you bring up health insurance. I remember hearing stuff about people always seem to get hurt around July 4th.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a combination of it being hot and more people are outside.
Yep.
Booze.
Yeah.
And more people are getting dehydrated from the heat and all that. And then the fireworks.
Yeah. Enter explosives.
Yeah. Now, do you have any stories from the 4th of July where you ever got hurt, you were in harm's way or anything like that? Because I was trying to think about this earlier. I don't think I do. The one thing that I do know is July 4th has gotten progressively less important to me as I've gotten older. When I was like 6, I could not wait for July 4th and to go watch those fireworks.
Right.
It was the coolest thing, one of the coolest things of the year. Like just laying in the back of a truck or in a sleeping bag or whatever and just watching the fireworks. I was so in awe. And now I'm probably seeing stuff that's 10 times better than it was then. And I don't care at all.
Fireworks do little for me unless I'm the one lighting them off. And even then, not so much. I do have a few stories. I've never really been directly in harm's way. I do still enjoy Independence Day because I had one good one about 4 or 5 years ago, and I'm still riding that high.
What made it good?
Well, I was just out driving around. I had kind of a cool car at the time, and me and my buddies were just kind of cruising around, and we'd stop over here. We stopped at this, like a camping beach club kind of a thing, and the people there had these things. They were tennis balls that some yoo-hoo had drilled a hole into, poured about 3 different types of fertilizer, threw a wick in, and they were lighting them
like
and throwing them.
Explosive.
It was basically a half a stick of dynamite. And so they were chucking them, and you're not supposed to have the fireworks in the club.
You're not supposed to have tennis ball bombs?
Well, or any legitimate fireworks, but no, not tennis ball bombs. And so they'd light them and throw them, and as soon as the bomb would explode, everyone that our group was hanging around would start yelling, "Quit throwing fireworks," so that they wouldn't think it was us throwing fireworks.
Oh, the old reverse boys.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be like, "Boom!
Yeah.
Hey, you kids, quit throwing fireworks."
Yeah, that move gets used a lot. People will throw a beer at a festival or a concert or whatever, and they immediately like turn around and pretend like they, like, who threw that?
Yep.
And it's always the guy who turns around is the one who threw it.
Oh, yeah.
You know that when you're behind them, but when you're in front, you turn around to look and see who did it, and all you see is a few other people looking back, and you have no idea which one of them threw it.
Yep. Ooh, I remember one time, that brings up another point. I went to the Taste of Chicago with some friends, and it was for the fireworks, and it's always really crowded on the day of the fireworks.
It's always really crowded, period.
Yeah. Don't recommend going on the day of the fireworks, although the fireworks are sort of impressive. And we were walking along, and we saw, like, 3 bald, like, shaved-headed guys coming towards us and kind of making their way through the crowd in a hurry, looking over their shoulders. And one of them was saying, like, "I'll kill all you motherfuckers. I don't care."
Yeah.
And then when we walked up a little further, there was a guy laying on the ground who those guys had stabbed. and he was laying there stabbed and bleeding. And it was really interesting that the cops are on horseback and they come jumping over the bushes. It was, and then they, wow, you know, clear
that would
a
be
spot.
Impressive to see.
It was really pretty cool to see, and they quarantined off the area and whatever.
Remember
and
these guys, like skinhead guys?
I'm thinking so. Why would they all three have had shaved
was
heads?
The guy they stabbed black?
I didn't take note.
Hmm. Interesting, because you're in Chicago. He could be black, Hispanic, gay. Yeah. Who's to say?
But... yeah, there's no telling. Or he could have just been.
Yeah, could have just been a normal guy minding his business and get, you know, ticked off the wrong
shank,
dude.
Shank, shank, shank.
Right.
Yeah.
Shank your buddy.
Got in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm. You don't mess with a motherfucker.
But, yeah, I've had some good times. You know, there was one time we were on a pontoon boat and they had the tennis ball bombs again and they were chucking them over the side
was
of
it
the pontoon
same people?
Boat. Some of the same.
Okay, so there's some.
One of them was a former employer. He was driving the pontoon boat.
Nice.
And, yeah, just chucking tennis ball bombs over the side and getting everybody soaking wet and.
Sounds like a good role model, this employer. He's out with a bunch of people who are making tennis ball bombs.
And... right. It was, but it, you know what? It was a blast, and nobody did get hurt that I was around. So, you know, good times.
Nice. Yeah. I don't know. July 4th. There's not much to it in the way for me. It's a time of the year where it seems like relationships get started.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a couple of those around July 4th in the past where, you know, summer, people are out and about more, particularly in the Midwest when you know, half the year, shit, you don't want to leave your house.
Right.
But I've had a couple things where relationships started around July 4th, and there's something about July 4th that just brings that intimacy level up. Again, it's probably the alcohol and the fireworks.
Yes.
But it accelerates relationships. A relationship that starts June 15th. Mm-hmm. And makes it through July 4th is like the equivalent of a relationship that starts November 11th and makes it through January 27th.
I have the same view, but mine's sort of the opposite.
Okay.
I am 100% with you. However, I have almost never been in a relationship over the 4th or have been in a relationship and the person I was with over the 4th was unable to be around.
Mm.
So it's perpetually this sort of like a... but there's a lot of people out there having some good times with their sweethearts right now.
And... it is a little bit of a sweetheart holiday because you can hold hands and you can walk. You know, this time of year, you're out and about walking all over the place.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of walk.
And walking is good for getting to know someone, especially when you're starting to try and date them or get a feel for if they want to date you.
Mm-hmm.
It's always nice to do. And it's casual. So
yeah.
It's a good move.
It is.
Hmm.
In fact, I would say that the Independence Day weekend is probably, I would prefer it as a couple's holiday over a Valentine's Day or Sweetest Day by far. Because you can go out there with your girlfriend or boyfriend or he/she, and you can lay under the stars, and there's fireworks everywhere, no matter where you go.
And there's not the expectation of being alone.
Right.
You can have friends around, and that doesn't ruin the holiday.
Whereas, yeah, because you can... you can all sort of experience it independently with the group.
Mm-hmm. It is very unique like that. Whereas Valentine's Day, there's so much expectation put on it because of the way we've manufactured that holiday to be. That it almost makes it inevitable that you're going to fuck it up.
Well, the only thing you can do with Valentine's Day is not screw up. Or screw up. But it'll never be like, next Valentine's Day, if you did a great job this year. Don't even bother next year because this year made up for the next five.
Yeah.
Nope. It's never good enough.
It is always a dangerous thing setting the bar too high early on.
Yes.
You know, a girl's first birthday that you're dating her, not her first birthday, but her first birthday that you're dating her, you can't get her too great of a gift. Because if you get her a super awesome gift, next year, what the hell are you going to do?
Yep. You can't not... top yourself.
Yeah, you always got to leave a little room for improvement.
But there is that urge to, like, you know,
bring it
and let them know, like, this is what I think of you. But then there is the whole, I got to be able to keep pace with myself. Mm-hmm. It's like you're running a race and you just hit that mile mark and you got two to go, and you think, can I keep going this fast?
Right. Am I getting tired? Can I really do it?
You really got to pace yourself in these relationships because. It's intimidating, and, you know, you got to be careful.
I think I've kind of messed up a few relationships doing that, where now I look back on it and I go, man, that was a bad move. But at the time, I was completely smitten with someone, so I was like, I'm bringing it. I'm doing my A game. We're going all out for Valentine's or your birthday, and we're going to the hotel and fancy dinner, and I'll buy you this or that. And I look back on it now, and I go, man, that left me no room to improve on things later on.
So. Well, and in the past, I've also done some incredibly sweet things around Valentine's Day and for birthdays. And now I find myself, like, I still see myself as that guy who will do those sorts of things, like really thoughtful, like handmade gifts that maybe aren't the most incredibly lavish, but there's a lot of thought and time put in, which people seem to enjoy more than anything. But it seems like lately I've gotten away from that, and I can't get back in the swing.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's causing it, but you know, there was something about, like, a couple years ago, I remember one time, none of the flower places were open while I was working, or when I was off of work on Valentine's Day, and there was someone I wanted to give flowers to. So I took construction paper, and I made a dozen construction paper roses. I stuffed them with...
Really?
Yeah, I stuffed them with Kleenex, so they had that puff. Spritzed him with my cologne because
wow. You
gotta make him smell. Had a little bundle with some, you know, I got straws for the stems. And I really did all out. I went to this girl's dorm because I was in college. And I didn't have my ID on me. And she came down and she was like so smitten and whatever. Oh, yeah, this is the best thing I've ever gotten. I bet it's still the best thing she's ever gotten because, I mean, that's the best thing I've ever done for probably anyone.
I am blown away that you did this.
Oh, I'm blown away by myself. That's why I still am riding that high.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm the kind of guy to do that once.
Yeah.
Well, and the guy at the front desk, she's like, well, do you want to come up? I go, I don't have my ID. I don't know. And the guy goes, man, I saw that. You just go. A guy like that, that's...
So the security guard...
He was cool. Yeah, because he was like, a guy like this didn't come here to, like, rob the spot. Turns out it robbed, like, three different dorms.
Unless you were a super psycho stalker.
Yeah.
That a stalker would have done that move also.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, but then it wasn't a relationship sort of a thing, so the next year I didn't have to do anything, so that was even better.
Oh, you were just trying to get with her or something?
I guess so, or it was just somebody sweet that I wanted to do something nice for, and she's always broken up with on Valentine's Day, so.
Gotcha. Well, that was nice.
Yeah.
I can relate to what you were saying about kind of lacking that spark and motivation, and I don't know if it comes with getting older or if it comes with having more and more relationships fall by the wayside, but I've gotten to that point as well where I catch myself going, you know, do I do enough? You know, should I be doing more? I don't know.
Well,
it's not easy out there.
I've got the thought process of, if this person could link into my head and saw what I thought about them and how often I thought about them, they wouldn't need anything else.
They wouldn't need the reassurance.
If they really knew what was going on. And I just sometimes don't have the energy to expend that.
To convey it.
And, yeah. And so, you know, sometimes it feels watered down to put a monetary value of, like, I'm going to go buy you some flowers now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know. So, what do you do?
I don't know.
You take them to the fireworks.
Yeah.
You get a free show. And then you see what happens.
Nowhere else you can take them?
Where gets that?
It's not as free as the fireworks usually are, but you can take them to the water park.
Ooh, that's a great place to take a lady. Or scope out some others.
Right. I went to a water park the other day. It was a pretty decent water park. And it was actually the second time I had been to this water park. The first time I went there, the lifeguards were notorious for freaking out every time you got done going down a slide on your raft or whatever, for making you get off feet first, because the water that when you come out is only a couple feet deep. And so they freak out. They're like, feet first, feet first, feet first. And the thing is, sometimes when you're sitting in these rafts with your butt in them and your feet in the middle, it's very hard to actually get your feet spun around
because
it's more natural for you to just fall backwards.
Mm-hmm.
You just fall out and it's 2 feet deep, so you put your hands down and you stand up. And not only that, I'm a grown man and I was there with other grown men for the most part. And the lifeguards were just all up in our face. Just, oh, feet first, blah, blah, blah. They were constantly complaining about stuff like that.
That seems like a design flaw.
Yeah, make it deeper and let people get out however the fuck they want to get out of the raft. Like, the point of going to the water park is for you to have fun at the water park. And I'm sure these lifeguards don't like standing there for 9 hours a day going, feet first, you have to get out feet first, you have to get out feet first.
Right.
They don't care. They probably see people get out, you know, all other sorts of ways all day and no one's getting hurt.
Right.
But I'm sure the water park has to be so immune to liability, so they make up all these damn rules.
Yep.
Now, one rule, which I don't necessarily like, is the height requirement for the ride.
Okay.
And I don't like it because I have this feeling in me from when I was a kid of people not respecting me as a kid. I felt like I was always belittled when I was a kid by most adults. They didn't think I was capable of what I was capable of. And at certain points in time, I knew I was smarter than a lot of adults I was hanging out with, but they still treated me like I was somehow inferior or less intelligent or couldn't comprehend on their level.
Right.
And it was very ironic. I'm walking with a bunch of buddies from one slide to another, and we were talking about the height requirement, about how it's kind of silly, because some of these slides are enclosed slides. You know, the ones that they're dark and that's supposed to be the thing. Like, woo, you can't see where you're going.
You don't know what's coming next.
Right. Well, those ones, wouldn't it be more dangerous to be taller?
Yeah, you might hit your head.
You have longer limbs. You can hit your head if you sit up. Things are very dangerous. And they have this one slide that's enclosed for the first half of it. And the previous time that I had gone, not a couple days ago, but about a year ago, they had told me, hey, make sure you put your hands by your ears and you kind of lock yourself in real tight. Well, I did that, and I racked my elbows very hard. I smoked my elbows on the sides of the tunnel. And so I was thinking, when we were talking about that, like, yeah, and then one of my other buddies was like, yeah, I did the same thing, you know? So we made sure that next time we, like, brought them in really, really tight to our chest so that we wouldn't hit our elbows on the side of the tunnel. We were talking about how being short was probably be an advantage for safety purposes on most of these slides.
Right.
How is being short going to hurt you or make you more likely to get in?
I can't imagine.
Because they always have weight restrictions, too. Mm-hmm. Because the heavier you are, the faster you're going to get going. So being light seems like the safest thing amongst them all.
Right.
So we're talking about this, and a lifeguard buzzes by us and goes, hey, excuse me, I gotta get up to the top. And I start joking around with the lifeguard. Hey, I bet you're just going up there so you can take first place down the ride. Mm-hmm. You just want to cut in front of everyone in line. I know your game. And she's laughing. Oh, no, I gotta actually work, blah, blah, blah. So we get up there, and we're getting ready to go down the slide, and there's two guys in front of us, or two young boys in front of us. They might have been brothers. And they're standing there in line, and we're waiting for just a couple minutes. And I start going, you guys racing each other? They're like, yeah. And I go, all right, well, I'm going to race one of you if it gets uneven. You know, I'm just kind of joking around with them. And the younger of the two is about 4 feet tall. The ride requirement is 48 inches.
Okay.
The lifeguard that I had just joked around with 5 minutes prior when she was walking in front of us to go up the stairs to the slide takes this kid, puts him next to the sign where it says, you must be this tall to ride the ride.
Right.
And he's got his goggles on, and he's already all wet. You know, he's got his trunks on, shirt off. And he was a little guy, maybe 8, 9, 10, somewhere in that ballpark. And she takes her hand, and she puts it on top of his head to see if he's 48 inches. And her hand is right at the 48-inch mark. And his hair's kind of blowing and stuff like that. So she takes her hand off, smooths his hair down, and holds his hair flat at his side. So, like, she took it from the top on both sides and smashed his hair down. It was holding it on the side of his head. And she goes, sorry. Now, I'm telling you this. The shortness of this kid from being 48 inches is less than the width of your finger. You could not have taken any of the average person's fingers, stuck it on top of his head, without being over 48 inches.
Right.
So he's 47 inches and 15 sixteenths.
Right.
And
I guarantee 48 inches is just a bland cutoff.
It's an arbitrary thing to probably keep too young of kid from going on the ride by themselves, probably. I'm assuming. Well, while she's measuring him, my buddies and I are like, yeah, we start clapping. We're like, let him go. He's good. Yeah. And she turns around, and I'm thinking, yay, she's going to announce she's letting him go, even though he's just a tad short. And she goes, sorry, he wasn't quite tall enough. Safety first.
Oh, boy.
This girl was a lifeguard that was like 22, 23 years old. And I was like, are you kidding? She's like, sorry, I'm concerned about the little guy. Oh, man.
I think at
that moment, I was embarrassed to be a human.
I think the problem for her then comes in, if she lets him go and he is a finger length short and he gets hurt, she's screwed.
Right. I understand that. But if the police officer pulls you over for doing 70 on the interstate and doesn't write you a ticket, and then later you go kill someone after he lets you go, he's responsible too. But you would still think he was a douchebag for giving you the ticket for going 70.
Sure. But, yeah, I don't know.
And I don't know either. And then my friends and I were thinking, maybe we made it worse by drawing attention to it for clapping and all that stuff, and we kind of put her on the spot.
Yeah, maybe.
But I would have letting that guy go. I don't know how a person could not let that little kid go. And now, luckily, the kid wasn't crushed. He was just like, okay, and he just went running down the stairs. But he didn't get to race his brother. Mm-hmm. And I ended up racing the brother down the slide. There's two different slides.
Did you kick his ass?
No, actually, I think he went on the faster slide than I did.
Son of a bitch. He knew it.
At least that's my story. I'm not going to say this little kid who was 49 and a half inches beat me.
He's better at water slides than you.
I know. It's a terrible thing to lack skill in. But it was a bum deal, and it enraged me with these silly, silly rules and the silly people who enforce them. I was thinking, this chick is there all day. All she had to do was just look the other way and let the kid get on the slide. She knew he was close. She didn't have to go up to him and flatten his hair down, because with his hair blowing in the wind, he was well over.
And think about the time wasted flattening the hair. It's like, yep, you're good. Just go.
You're right, just go.
Keep it moving. Keep everything going. Keep everybody happy.
Yeah, this is contrasting to another slide where they had a weight limit. It was me and three friends, and you could fit four people max on these rafts. But the weight limit was 700 pounds. Everyone in the group was 180 plus. So, and some of them were more than 200. They were like 240 or so. Mm-hmm. So we're pushing 800, maybe 900 pounds. The weight limit's 700. We get up there, and the guy goes, you guys all gonna ride together? I go, yeah, sure are. And he goes, oh, well, can you guys get on the scale? I go, I guess so. And he goes to a young girl who's working there, goes, hey, Becky, you know how to turn on the scale? She goes, no, I don't know how to use it. He goes, man, they should have told us that at our training. I go, what's the weight requirement? He goes, 700. I go, we should be good. The girl looks at us. She goes, yeah, they should be good. And he goes, oh, all right. And he's trying to hold the raft with his leg, which apparently is his move while everyone gets on.
Right.
And when three of us got on, the weight started pushing him out of the way as the fourth person was getting on. So obviously we were more than 700 pounds.
Right.
And he was just like, they should have taught us how to use that scale.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. And he steps out of the way and he goes, have fun. And he just lets us go down the slide.
Was it one of those where you go up
up and down. And
oh,
those,
man.
That's
awesome.
That could
be dangerous. Or the weight.
Right, but you'd have to have so much weight for it to be really dangerous. But that was the difference.
Yeah.
That guy didn't go, you guys are going to have to step to the side and wait till we get someone up here to figure out how to use this scale. He was just like, all right, go. Which is how most people should act most of the time, I think.
Well, it's the same deal with those lifeguards, bouncers, gate guys. Have you ever had to deal with a gate guy somewhere? They're the worst people.
Yeah, they are. Security at a concert.
Yeah.
They always
Which sometimes can be lax, but it usually, yeah.
Well, the one who will talk to you is like Barney Fife.
Yeah.
It's always the one who's out there doing too... Remember that time we were at that bar and the guy was talking about kicking me out for having my sunglasses on?
Yeah, I remember
that. That guy. And I ignored him the one time. And then he came back. He's like, listen, I'm going to throw you down those
next
steps.
Next time you're down the ramp.
And I was like, all right, go ahead and try.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, do it. Let me see you throw me down those steps. Fucking nerd.
He had a ponytail.
He did. He was, this guy was like 55 years old with a ponytail. He was probably a roadie for Rolling Stone back in the day. And he's going to threaten me like he's going to throw me down some steps. The steps weren't even that big. It was like four steps.
Right. We were at spring break in Panama City Beach. And we're at just a bar. And they don't allow sunglasses in the bar.
Yeah, you're in Florida. So if you're out and about, you're going to have sunglasses. And then you might come into the bar at the end of the day.
Right. And who cares if you got sunglasses
on? Right, again, this is my whole point, is the rules for the sake of being rules.
Yeah.
He should have just looked the other way and looked for someone doing something wrong instead of coming up and talking to me multiple times about my sunglasses. Just like the chick should have just let that kid get on the slide instead of taking him over to the sign and flattening down his hair and then trying to justify it like, I'm looking out for his safety.
Right.
You are not, because a little kid on that slide is going to be fine.
You know what I like, also, as long as we're on the rules for the sake of rules, are when you go to a bar and they've got a list of their dress code or what they will and will not accept, and it's basically just a sign that says, no black people.
Yeah, almost every dress code at a club is saying, you can't really dress like people in the hip-hop community dress,
right.
Which is another way of saying
no,
we're not that into black
jerseys.
People. Yeah. You can't wear sneakers. You can't wear the boots.
No plain white tees.
Right? Yeah. And by the way, a plain white tee is a decent look on
look
most
good.
People. Yeah.
Bruce Springsteen?
There you go. The boss.
You're not going to let the boss in?
You let the boss into your goddamn... And he wears jeans too, by the way. Let the boss into the club.
Yep.
But yeah, that's
no
true.
Red caps.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah. Oh, it's silly. But so instead, what do you get in the club instead of people dressing how they want to dress? You get a bunch of people in button-ups that are too tight, showing their chest. Well, there should be a rule against showing your chest in the club.
Yeah.
These Italian dudes that go in there all fucking colognedup to the max. Ooh. With so much gel in their hair, and they got the goddamn chest sticking out.
Yeah.
That is more perturbing than some guy wearing a white t-shirt or a baseball cap.
What woman sees the chest out of the shirt and just fawns? Now, granted, you undo a couple buttons, you know, two, something like that.
But usually most people who undo a button will have an undershirt on.
An undershirt, yeah. You should do the undershirt.
It's that guy is the scuzzball that for some reason girls do seem to like. Because that guy keeps dressing like that and that guy keeps getting laid.
He does.
That's the typical, like, ultra club dude.
Right.
Like, tan to the max, maybe fake tan.
I can
And he's always got too much of the shirt unbuttoned.
I'm looking at him right now.
Ladies, what the fuck are you doing?
Muscle bound.
Yes! Why are the ladies rewarding this guy by going home with him at the end of the night? Well, maybe it's just the same as dudes who go for the girls with the big breasts.
Yeah.
Because that's the easiest move in the book for chicks. If you got big boobs, just put them out there and someone will come sniffing. Maybe it's just the same thing, I suppose. I don't know.
Oh, but who could ever guess?
I don't know. That's what we're here for. Quick, fast podcast.
Yeah.
We're here to guess what people know, why they know it, and why they don't know us.
Let's put it out to our listeners. Why do you think guys still go out with the exposed chest?
And ladies, how many of you are actually into it?
Yeah.
What is the deal there? I want to know, like, do you hook up with that guy, or do you make fun of that guy?
Yep. And we'd like you to tweet us at QuickFastCast. Where else can they reach us?
They can find us at QuickFastCast.blogspot.com, which, by the way, is blowing up. In the last week and a half, 350-some views.
I'm very impressed by that.
Yeah, it's doing well. And we got people from Russia. I don't know how the hell a Russian finds the QuickFast podcast, but shout out to him. I mean,
yeah.
Gorbachev, baby. You know, Stalin, what up?
Yeah.
Yeah, we love Stalin.
Yeah. Lenin's all right in my book.
Yeah, he did his thing.
You know?
We didn't get into the Cold War, really.
No.
So, shout out to them. People from Italy.
Yep. We had some Estonian listeners.
Yeah.
So, I don't know where that's at, but hey.
Most people don't.
You know? Where we're seeing a little bit of lack is, you know, the Spaniards.
Yeah. There's something about us only speaking English that probably cuts us off from that demographic.
And you know what? I think that's wrong.
I do also. Learn English.
Yeah.
If you're in Spain, start learning your fucking English. Why? So you can listen to the Quick Fast podcast.
And why wouldn't you? It's worth every dollar spent on English lessons.
Where are you going to get more for your money?
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Quick Fast Podcast. And remember, you do what the fuck you got to do.
And if there's no victim,
there's no crime.
Stay cool.